You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It is indeed a pleasure for me to welcome to our studio Judith Lynn Stillman. We're going to find out everything you wanted to know about Judith Lynn Stillman. She is a pianist, a choral conductor, music director, composer, arranger, and all-around good person. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. I have in my hand, I know you can't see it, but I have here in my hand several pages of Judith's bio, where she has done amazing work as a pianist and met lots of interesting people. And where we normally start with this is just a little bit about, how did I get so lucky to have you here in Rhode Island? Are you from Rhode Island?
No, I'm from New York originally. I live in Rhode Island, and I'm the artist in residence and a professor of music at Rhode Island College. And so I do make my home here, although I travel a lot.
Travel a lot, but your home is now Rhode Island, so that's a good thing. Even though we don't consider you a Rhode Islander, you know, you'll have to be here for a long time for us to think of you that way. But we're glad to have you here. And on your bio, I've noticed that there are lots of famous people you've played with over the years. You've played all over the country, all over the world. How did all this start without going through the, you know, I started when I was three? But other than that,
well, I think that the joy of collaboration is something that became very important to me and very significant. Actually, I can kind of pinpoint the epiphanal moment. I went to a concert at Carnegie Hall celebrating the 85th anniversary of Carnegie Hall. I think it was in 1979. And I heard Horowitz and Rostropovich play the Rachmaninoff cello sonata, the slow movement. And I was so taken by the beauty of that, the conversation of that. And collaboration became very important to me. I auditioned for the Marlborough Music Festival, and Serkin heard me and admitted me as the new pianist there. And from that moment on, I think that I really branched out in that way and got to know lots of amazing musicians. And one thing led to another, and I feel very lucky.
There you are. And you basically were a pianist at first. And now you consider yourself more of a composer, arranger type of thing?
Not more of, but it's, I guess I feel
expanded
that
too.
I'm hoping that it's that way. I feel that it's important to have a multifaceted career. It's important to me.
Okay.
And
well, excellent.
Keeps me hopefully vibrant and trying new things and reaching out.
And Rhode Island College is where you are now.
That's right.
You have regular students, regular classes there?
I have a select number of pianists, and they're gifted, and I'm really enjoying working with them.
And other schools you've worked with at Brown University on occasion, I believe?
I did. I was on their faculty teaching piano and chamber music, as well as New England Conservatory prep. And then I've done some visiting artist work in some very interesting and wonderful places, Central Conservatory of Music in Beijing, Prague Conservatory of Music in the Czech Republic.
Wow. And
invited recently to Russia.
So. Wow. That sounds
looking forward to that.
All like great stuff. Well, we could go on and on, but we're not going to do that. One of the main reasons Judith is here today is to talk about a concert called Phoenix from the Ashes. I hope I have that title correct.
That's correct.
And that's going to be on March 21st. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a Holocaust remembrance concert, and it will feature a number of premieres, actually. We will be premiering Phoenix from the Ashes, which is a song cycle of 7 songs for soprano and piano, and they'll be performed by Laurie Phillips, who's a dramatic soprano at the New York Metropolitan Opera, and I'll be the pianist, and I'm the composer of those songs as well. most significant is the texts for the songs are from a publication called Vedem, which is it was a secret publication written by teenage boys during World War II when they were in Theresienstadt. And it was a publication that kind of kept their creativity going and their spirits going. And they would write weekly poems and articles, and there's artwork, and this poetry and these pages were hidden fortuitously and amazingly and bravely by a gentleman named Sidney Taussig, who was about 13 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. He hid those pages just before most of his friends were deported to Auschwitz. And upon liberation, he recovered these pages, and then they became published. And so the poetry really was the inspiration for writing these songs, and they'll be performed. Amazingly, Mr. Sidney Taussig, the man who hid and retrieved these pages, will be the honored guest at this event.
Wow. And this wasn't, we're not talking about two or three pieces of paper he hid. This is
800
pages of this. So that's amazing. And he's going to be there. He's now 82, I believe
he's
you told
82
me.
82 years old.
82. And that's where right. is this going to take place?
This will take place at Sappensley Hall in the Nazarian Center for the Performing Arts on the Rhode Island College campus. And it's free and open to the public, 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, March 21st. There will be other performers, very gifted, wonderful performers, Cantor Brian Mayer of Temple Emmanuel, Cantor Judy Seppelman of Temple Beth-El, Cantor Fred Scheff of Temple Shalom, and the Rhode Island College Chorus will all be performing as well at this event. And also following the 7:30 concert will be the Northeast premiere of a movie called The Boys of Terezin. That will also feature our honored guest, Sidney Taussig, and he'll be telling his story in the movie as well as in person to us.
Wow. Sounds like quite an amazing event, and the price is right, that's for sure. You know, we don't have many of those on the show. But we want to get to some music, and I think when Judith and I were sitting before the show this evening, we talked about what do we play, how do we you know, kind of recap a career like you've had so far, and which is amazing, with a lot of music. So we're going to try to get right to the music, and tell us about this first piece that we're going to listen to.
So we are starting with Traumerei by Schumann, which is from the Scenes from Childhood. And I think I wanted to start with this because this is one of the pieces I heard Horowitz play when I was just a little child. And one of the reasons that I, you know, wanted to become a pianist was when I heard him. And I think it was Chopin who said that simplicity emerges as the crowning reward of art. And this is just a simple gem. Fantastic little piece of music.
Thank you.
One of the things I want to make perfectly clear is that everything you hear today, music-wise, is Judith playing absolutely you, really you, with lots of CDs that she's recorded over the years. And normally we have some artists that come on and play other people's music and say, well, this is what inspired me, but this is so-and-so playing, but not the case today, right?
Well, I mean, Horowitz inspired me, but that is my interpretation of
right.
that piece.
So that's actually you touching, tickling the ivories, as they probably, you probably don't like
that's,
to have her
That's said. Me trying to imitate Horowitz, not really. Hopefully not.
All right, and we're going to get right to this next piece, because I'm kind of excited about this one. This is, because I'm a kind of a competitive guy, and... Off air, you told me that there was a competition on PBS, I believe it was.
Actually it was on the BBC TV.
BBC, okay.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so I think that Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee does somehow inspire the or incite the competitive spirit in many instrumentalists. And so, in fact, BBC TV had a competition. And from my understanding, one year, a violinist won, he played it. He played Flight of the Bumblebee in 1 minute and 6.56 seconds. And then another competitor came along, I think a year later, and shaved 2 seconds off that world record, bringing it to 1 minute and 4 seconds. So we can kind of see where my playing falls in that spectrum and how I do in the Rimsky-Korsakov Olympics.
All right.
But I will say that the piece also elicits other kinds of responses, because Lang Lang, in fact, played it as an encore on his iPad. And I've also heard it played on 101 bottles.
Well, here we go with Flight of the Bumblebee. There you have it. We broke the BBC record. Under a minute. That's amazing. I told Judith while we were listening to that, my fingers were tired listening. I just can't imagine someone being able to do that and being that nimble. I'm sure there's a better musical term than nimble, but very nice, very
Thank
nice.
You.
And we go along the musical trail here, and because We had quite a long dialogue at the beginning. We're going to try to get to this next piece of music, and then we'll come back and explain a lot more about other pieces that we have, as well as some more conversation about the program on March 21st, Phoenix from the Ashes. Judith, what's this next piece you have for us?
The next piece is the Rachmaninoff Sonata for Cello and Piano, the slow movement that I had mentioned before. And this is with a wonderful cellist, Andras Diaz. He won the Naumburg Award in 1986 and an Avery Fisher Career Grant. Just a quick note about Rachmaninoff, who composed this in 1901. You know, critics had very much damaged his self-confidence just before this period, and he stopped composing for a while and actually saw a psychologist who treated him with hypnosis. And when he regained his confidence, he wrote the second concerto, and then on the heels of that, this absolutely glorious sonata.
All right, we'll listen to that, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Judith Lynn Stillman.
Thank you.
We are back, and we're talking with Judith Lynn Stillman, pianist, arranger, composer, conductor, music director, and amazing talent. And one of the things that I always ask performers, I know that I get asked this question a lot, is there a particular style that I like to sing? People ask me that all the time. What about you as far as playing? Is there someone that...
So the standard answer that performers always give is, you know, my favorite composer is the composer of the piece that I am currently playing. I will say that I love playing Mozart. It fits very well into my hands. I have very, very small hands. And there's a certain, you know, facility and delicacy that just feels natural for me. And so I thought maybe we could share this Mozart piano quartet, last movement of the G minor quartet. This is a wonderful piece of music, and bizarrely, it's hard to imagine that when it premiered in Vienna in 1785, it was actually considered avant-garde and revolutionary. And I'm playing here with David Kim, violinist, who's the Concertmaster of Philadelphia Orchestra, known well to Rhode Island audiences because he ran a festival in Kingston.
Yeah.
And Roberto Diaz, who is actually the president and CEO of the Curtis Institute, although formerly principal violist of Philly, and his brother, Andres Diaz, whom I mentioned before, is the cellist.
Well, this piece is a little bit lengthy, so we'll just listen to a portion of it. Listening to beautiful music that Judith has created over a period of time, and most of the CDs we listened to so far are commercial endeavors and available. They were available at one point in time. If you'd like to get some of them, you can go to Judith's website, which is pretty easy. It's Judith Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Stillman.com, and there's all kinds of information there. And you can get to see pictures of her and all kinds of great information, as well as finding out about the CDs. This next CD is not a commercial product as such. It looks like an archive type thing, right?
This is the Borromeo String Quartet's Living Archive. They archive all of their live performances, or have been doing so in recent years. And so this is the third movement of the Schumann Piano Quintet that I played with them. I love working with string quartets. It's such a joy.
You've worked with, I noticed by your bio, you've worked with a lot of string quartets. Give us some names of some of them.
Well, the Cassatt, which is all women, dynamic, amazing group. The Muir, based at Boston University. The Shanghai Quartet. Moscow Quartet.
Wow.
And others.
So a lot
so this
of...
This is the Borromeo.
There's been some famous groups there. Okay, we'll listen to this piece. By the way, we should mention that the last piece we listened to, we only had time for a portion of it. But this one, we're going to get the whole thing in on this one.
I just thought it would be interesting to note that when this piece was first performed, Clara Schumann, Schumann's wife, was the pianist for the first performance. And that was in a small venue, probably their parlor or something. But the second performance that was in a larger venue was supposed to Clara Schumann was supposed to be the pianist again, and she was sick, and Mendelssohn took her place and sight-read the piece on the spot.
Why not, right?
Hear the propulsive vigor and this, what a tour de force it is, it's staggering to think that Mendelssohn could sight-read this piece.
All right. Thank you. Judith, there are so many things to play here, all this great music, but I have a question for you that doesn't necessarily tie in, but we'll make it tie in. When you started composing, something must have said to you, well, I want to do this. And what was that?
Well, it was a challenge. Director, or I guess the CEO of North Star Records Company, heard me at a performance and came up to me afterwards and asked if I would, I thought he was going to ask me to make a CD of, I don't know, Chopin or something, but he said, look, we'd really like you to make a CD for us. Could you make a Christmas CD of all brand new arrangements? And I said, well, how am I going to do that? And he goes, well, you'll write them. And it was a wonderful challenge.
Seems simple enough.
I had never done anything like that before. And so I sort of began my foray into composing and arranging. And it turned out to be fortuitous because we sold 200,000 copies of that first CD, Christmas
Wow.
Remembered. And I think the little segment that we'll play for you now gives you some insight into sort of the eclectic nature of how I was arranging at the time, drawing upon pieces of music that spoke to me, that somehow I felt I could tie in with the Christmas spirit. So this is kind of a Baroque toccata that is, in a way, being interwoven with A Christmas Carol.
Okay.
And
well,
I'm double tracking myself at the piano.
Excellent. We'll listen to that, then we'll take another short break and be back with more of Judith. Back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Judith Lynn Stillman, pianist extraordinaire.
Thank
you. I don't know. I don't see that on your bio, but it should be there.
I'll have to use that.
It should be there. We've been listening to lots of different kind of music, and we're talking about a program coming up on March 21st, Phoenix from the Ashes, which will be at Rhode Island College, and The Price is Right. How do you control something like that? There is no admission charge, is there?
There's no admission charge. I mean, I think that we're feeling that it's a community service and a very important message to be told, and so we're happy to share it.
That's excellent. So get there early so you can get a seat and be part of this event. This next piece of music we're going to play has someone that's not necessarily associated with chamber music. At least in my mind, the name on the CD is Wynton Marsalis. Now, he's, I think, probably known as a jazz musician. And
Yes, I mean, one of his distinctions is that he won Grammys in both jazz and classical.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I got that right.
Well, we'll check you out, and we'll have all of our callers call you if that's not right. And the number to call is, no. But tell us about how this came to be.
Well, Wynton and I met as fellowship students at Tanglewood when we were teenagers, and he subsequently went to Juilliard, and I was a student there working on my doctorate at the time, and I was also teaching piano, and he enrolled in my piano class. So we have a long history, and we made the CD on the 20th century. I thought today we would play some of the Hindemith Sonata because it was in it was written in 1939, and of course Hindemith had been ostracized by the Nazis and accused of being a composer, producer of atonal noises, so he was living in exile in Switzerland, and I thought it would be relevant to play the first movement of that today. This movement is labeled Mit Kraft, with strength, and it's a kind of bold and brooding movement that is relevant given the thematic nature of our concert coming up.
Thank you.
Well, has been my experience over the years when I'm talking with interesting people, the time flies by. We need 2 hours instead of 1 hour, but thank you so much for coming in, Judith.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's great to be here.
It was a pleasure to hear your music and hear about your history, and we'll have to do this again soon, I hope.
I feel blessed to have worked with such terrific musicians, and I'm really appreciative. In introducing the next pieces, I want to thank Gigi Mitchell-Velasco, who is the lovely mezzo-soprano singing.
Well, Gigi is singing on this. Gigi was, I think, the second or third interview ever held on Conducting Conversations about 6 years ago. So
she's a live wire and very gifted. And speaking of timing, since we're running out of time, I think a very relevant thought, and I think Rachmaninoff said it, is, you know, music is enough for a lifetime, but a lifetime is not enough for music.
Very well said. And now we're going to close with Gigi singing and music which was composed by Judith Lynn Stillman. And the lyrics were written by children from the Holocaust. So this is something that you will hear on March 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Rhode Island College. Hope to see you there.
little boy will be no more.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.